Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I want to welcome you guys in here today. This is our 4th of July service, and it happens to be online. So let's welcome everybody watching online today. The sacrifice people are making at the lake, on the boat, in their pool, getting ready to watch the firecrackers, and now they're going to listen to God's word. It's going to be about 20 minutes, okay? So you don't have to buckle up. It's not going to be anything that you're gonna have to dredge through. And I believe I've got a good word for you. Before I do, I just want to let you know that. Man, everybody, all the families are taking trips and vacations are going on, and man, it's summertime. This is like halftime of summer 2018. We're at a halftime place, and we know what's going on now. We've been in the first half of the game, and now we're coming to the second half. And here at our church, just a little recap, our teenagers have had an incredible time. We've had a couple of camps where lives have been changed. And understand this, they just don't stay that way. It doesn't just happen where we could be passive and just let it go and hope that it stays on track. Things don't stay on track. You can write that down. In and of themselves, things don't stay on track, okay? What we've got to do is we've got to trust God. And you know what I believe? I believe we've got to take things, the law of diminishing returns comes into play, especially with these young people, that we've got to be able to take things from the level they are now to the next level. So we got to think about the next level of their lives spiritually, and the next level of their lives relationally, and the next level of their lives in their church. We're getting ready for an incredible Guts Girls event. This year, previously it's been a brunch. This year it's going to be a tailgate party. Man, we love that. It's almost sold out, is what I've heard. So now's the time where, man, we've got to look to that last 5%. I love to be in that place, the place where we are at as a staff, as leaders, as a church, when we can get something to a 95 percentile where it's an A. Man, most people will celebrate and they'll take it to the bar if they can get an A. They're done studying. They're done doing all that. That's an old college thought, I guess. But but man, we get to that last 5%. What are we going to do, man? We're gonna hit it hard. We're gonna make sure that we can get as close to that 100% as we can. I believe that's where we are right now with the tailgate party. It's in August, and I'm excited about it. It's arguably the best 2 hours of the year in our church. It's just unbelievable. We're also going to, it's been on my heart, and I'll just tell you, I just kind of went ready, fire, aim, and pulled the trigger and said, we're going to have a summit of youth ministry and senior pastors from around this area, and maybe even extend it statewide or maybe even regionally, where what we're going to do is we're believing God to get men and women together that have a heart to reach and kind of claim young people. In schools, in churches, in neighborhoods, on playgrounds, wherever they are. And it's just going to be a summit. We're going to get together. It's probably going to be a few hundred people, so it can't just be a round table. But it's going to be a summit where people are going to be able to, there's going to be conversations, and we're going to talk about strategies to reach schools and to reach young people. We've been doing it. Pastor Sandy and I have been doing it since the 80s, honestly. I mean, we've had a heart for teenagers and still do. Okay, and have had decades of effective youth ministry, and I'm looking now, and I'm just thinking, you know, there's things that the church can do. I believe we can curb school shootings. I believe we can turn the tide on a lot of things that's going on in young people's lives and in homes and in families, and not just point at things as excuses or explanations for why it's happening. I believe we can be the answer. And so that's what this summit's going to be. And I'm just telling you this, and I'm speaking on behalf of most people I know in our church. I'm getting stronger. Man, we're getting stronger as a people, and we have to understand that we're getting stronger no matter what we're going through. You know, in life there's peaks and there's valleys, and there's summits, and there's places that it's like, oh my gosh, how majestic, how beautiful it is. And we all wanna be at that summit, but you know what? You don't live at that summit. If you think about it. where most people live. We just went on a family vacation to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and oh my gosh, it's just breathtaking. I recommend it to anybody, okay? And we're normally beach people. We're normally getting the water people, and that isn't it. The water there was like 42 degrees, and so we weren't like getting the water. Look how beautiful that river is. It looks very cold though, actually. But there's moose, elk, and mountain people, and but it was unbelievable. But we stayed in a valley, and this is interesting because when we look at the word, man, we live in that valley. We got swimming pools are in that valley. That peak and that summit is just, it's beautiful places. Man, I think about people that have climbed Mount Everest. And I know, I think the oldest person that's ever climbed Mount Everest, when he got to the summit, and they asked him, they said, "How did you do it?" He said, "I just put one foot in front of the other." And they said, "Well, it's not that simple." He said, "No, it is. I put one foot in front of the other, and it was 60,000 steps is what it took. 60,000 steps." And there's people, listen, wherever people are, wherever you are right now, in your life, if you're in that valley, and a lot of times a valley, we're thinking it's a depressed place. But listen, that's where we live. See, the prince and the power of the air, the enemy, the devil, is going to try to make that place that we live, that valley, a depressing place or a depressed place. And I don't believe that to be the case. I believe that's the deception that the enemy uses. Man, we stayed in a valley this past week in Jackson Hole that was breathtaking. It was beautiful. Everywhere you looked, there were flowers I looked and I thought, is it because I'm on vacation? Is it because I'm with Sandy? Is it because I'm with my family? But these flowers look, I mean, they're so vivid. It just, the colors are so outstanding. It's just, it's so amazing. But honestly, and the Lord showed me that that's where we live. We live in those places. If we stop and we see the goodness of God, if we look for the goodness of God, we're going to see it. I was driving into the office today, and I was just thinking, you know, it's interesting. All these people driving by. A couple weeks ago, a couple famous people took their own lives. It's like, okay, how can this happen? Really? Well, 865 people a week take their lives in America. 865. I'm sure there's people around this area. I'm sure there's people around the areas where you live that are contemplating it right now, that are thinking about it right now. And I want to put up a big sign in the church saying, look, don't drive by. Don't think that it's over. It's not over if you don't drive by. If you just come in here, we can help you. There's hope here. And see, and that's the got to be the cry of our heart. But how many people drive by churches all over our area that are down and depressed because they're living in a valley? Man, what did David say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, God, because you're with me. See, and that's the idea of this. If you could turn in your Bibles to Psalm 84. It's just a few verses. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Now listen, this is God's house. This is the church. God, how lovely your house. God, how lovely your church is. See, that's the impression that we have to have and therefore then give to people in need. The church, God's tabernacle, God's house, how lovely is it? My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. See, and this is a place, listen, we don't just get there. This is a place, listen, like that Mount Everest where it's got to be every single step that I take. It's one foot in front of the other 60,000 times, and I'm going to get to that summit, and nothing's going to stop me from getting there. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Listen, this is where people are helped. People are helped, and we get people into that holy place of God, but they go through his courts. They come into his gates, they go through his courts, and they get to that holy place of God. But man, those courts, and that's where ministry happens. We get people through that gate. We get people in the door. We get people to turn on their phones and attach that podcast or this service or whatever it is. And we look at, man, my soul longs to get people into those courts where we can really help them. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. See, the appetites of our lives, of our flesh, it's for carnal things, it's for food, it's for objects, it's for cars, it's for clothes, it's for hairstyles, it's for makeup, it's for all this stuff. And what we've got to do is we've got to turn our hearts and long for the living God. Even the sparrows found a home, and the swallow in the nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Stop here. Man, we lay the precious things in our life at God's altar. Listen, this is huge. See, we're thinking that what happens here is on this stage is a performance. Man, for you guys that weren't here earlier, that weren't present here, the incredible worship here. And I'm telling you, the place just filled with God. Man, I experienced that. It was incredible. And man, but this is because it happened in an altar. It happened at a place where we could meet with the living God. Not just a stage, not just a performance. See, if ministry, and I think a lot of times it becomes very performance-driven and performance-oriented. Well, you know, if that happens in church, then that might be happening, and that may be why people aren't about ministry and about reaching out to people and about helping people, because the performance part of it has no fulfillment, none. Man, it can't be about performance. Paul said it's not the enticing words of men's wisdom. It's not our salesmanship. Man, so often I'll leave the platform and I'll think, I wish I were a better salesman. If I were a better salesman, people could buy in. And you know what? That's not what the kingdom's about. The kingdom's about love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom's about the fruit of the Spirit exhibited in our lives. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Man, you think about how strong, how powerful that verse is. Blessed are those, God, who live in your house. Psalm 92:13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Flourish in ministry. And even in old age, will be fresh and flourishing. Let me just tell you, we look at this and we're thinking, man, this job will give me opportunity for more money, or maybe I could have more time, or I could get health benefits, or I could get vacation time, or I could get time off, or whatever that is. And I'll just tell you, it's got to get to us where we would walk through whatever to get to God's house to serve his courts. That's what our heart has to be. That's where things have to turn. And I know that's not a popular message, and I know that's not one of those things that you hear and go, oh my gosh, let's invite all my friends. But I'll just tell you, at the end of the day, we're Christians. At the end of the day, we're Christ followers. At the end of the day, we're little Christs. And the bottom line is this: whatever he does, we do. Whatever he's about, we're about. Whatever grieves him, grieves us. What blesses him, blesses us. And verse 5 here in Psalm 84, the psalmist writes, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, God, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Write that word pilgrimage down in your notes. Underline that word pilgrimage in your Bible. Circle it and go back and just research and meditate on that term pilgrimage. You know, you think about the pilgrims in America, our founding fathers. This is what we base the country. The country was based, man, the articles and the Constitution, the things that these guys wrote were just timeless. Well, that's what the ministry, the life that comes out of you in this pilgrimage becomes timeless. And then stretches beyond even the generation that you live. And I know if you're here in your 20s or 30s or 40s, you're not thinking generationally maybe. But I'll tell you, God is. God's thinking generationally for you in your life. God's thinking about not just your natural or your biological offspring, but how many people that you're going to impact in this life that's really you're going to be connected with forever. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Now think about this. The valley of Baca. The valley of Baca is the valley of tears. It's a valley of sorrow. But what happens? Man, it ends up raining. It ends up pools. It ends up, wait a second, there's nourishment. There's hydration. Man, it begins to flourish. Why God causes your valleys to rain. See, we understand that, and we think, oh my gosh, a storm's coming. Yeah, and instead of saying, oh my gosh, a storm's coming, it's like, oh my gosh, a storm's coming. What's going to happen? Man, our fields, you think about this. You think about the seed time and harvest, okay? Everybody say seed time and harvest. Seed time. Okay, you think about seed time and harvest. What do you need during that time? You need some hydration. See, and we look at the storms of our life as, oh my gosh, it's so bad. Oh my gosh, it's so rough. Oh, the winds are going to be blowing and the rain, the clouds are going to crack and the rain's going to come. It's like, yeah, and it's going to hydrate our fields. It's going to be incredible. See, we look at that and we think, yeah, the enemy wants to deceive us into thinking that this storm is going to wreck you. And you know what? That storm's not going to wreck you. Jesus proves over and over and over in the Word that storm's not going to wreck you. You know what? Your doubt's going to wreck you. They go from strength to strength. Now listen, it goes from the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Tears, to strength to strength. So you're in a place right now where there might be a little battle, where there might be a little deficit, where there might be a little valley, and you're looking at your life and you're thinking, how am I going to get through this? Are you kidding me? I'm going to live in this valley. And you know what's going to happen in this valley? There's going to be resistance in this valley. And I go from strength to strength. Everybody say, I go from strength to strength. Say it again. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. See, we just listen. Behold, God, you're my shield. How many of you guys believe that God hears you? That God's your shield. See, that's God's promise here. And look upon the face of your anointed. See, he doesn't turn. Here he is in the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Tears. He's not going, oh my gosh, look upon the face of your sorrowful. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look upon your the face of your what? Anointed, where your presence is. Now think about this. When God looks at your face, he sees his presence. When God looks at your face, he sees his Holy Spirit. He sees his supernatural ability. He looks at you, he sees your supernatural ability. He sees who you made, who he created you to be. You are not who that mirror says you are. That mirror will lie to you every single time. Why? It's your natural eyes. The Bible says things are never as they appear. There's always something missing in that image in that mirror that's born of God. That only your spirit man, your natural eyes can't see it. Your spirit man has to see it. And how does your spirit man see it? How does your spirit man come alive to be able to see those things? Is you feast on God's word. You fast on the news of the world. And you feast on the gospel, the good news. Listen to verse 10, one of the most powerful verses in all of the Bible. For one day in your courts is better than 1,000. One day. Oh my gosh. God, I'll give up 3 years of other experience for one day in your house. And see, and I'll tell you why this is like this. God didn't design us to think in terms of days and weeks and months. We think in terms of moments. The things you remember through life, you remember moments. Man, I remember the moment when that umpire, Don Dinger, missed that call in Kansas City and called that guy safe that was out. That would have been the winning moment for the Cardinals in the World Series. But you know what? He called him safe, and the Royals came back and won. And you know what? I'm not thinking about the next guy that could have struck out or could have popped out or could have grounded out and then the game would have been won. No, all I'm thinking about is that missed call. All I'm thinking about is that missed opportunity. All I'm thinking about is that moment where that crippled man came up and got saved. I'm thinking about those moments. Those are those things that those are our life. So one day, why is one day in God's house better than 1,000 elsewhere? Because God creates moments in his house. Why do we need people to come to church? Because God creates moments for people in church. Oh, but I can have moments anywhere. Yeah, you know what? If you leave it up to chance, you sure can. Man, people driving by, let me tell you, I don't want them to be saying, okay, give me 3 cards, and then the devil deal them 3 other cards, and them kill themselves or quit in their marriage or decide, you know what? This addiction is too big for me to break. One day in your courts, oh God, your courts, that place where ministry happens. One day. See, you have to understand, the Holy of Holies is for that place where there's no sin. Any sin goes in there. They used to tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest. He came in. If there's any unrepentant sin or unforgiven sin in his life, you know what? He dropped dead. And you know why that rope was there? Is because those guys had realized that rope hadn't moved in 10 minutes, and they'd pull him out. Because nothing dead could stay in God's presence. They didn't want to lose God's presence because there was a dead high priest in there. So they'd pull him out. Now you think about the Holy of Holies. To get people to the Holy of Holies. See, we think about everything we do in church, and we're thinking, okay, we need people to have a holy of holies experience. And you know what? Man, they need to have the courts of our God experience first. Because that's where ministry happens. Man, is there any unrepentant sin that's in your life? Is there any habitual sin that you're about? This is where it happens. Man, people come in. There's so many times at church where I'll be sitting there and I'll be thinking, man, I'm so convicted. I never sense a closer time with Sandy than when we're sitting in church. I remember years ago that Sandy said, you know, the one thing that I have to deal with is that we don't get to sit together in church because I preach all the time. See, and you look at this, and why? Because that's the experience we're giving. That's the moment we're giving people. The moment God's courts, one day in your courts, God, man, could change a life forever. Just a moment. Man, a moment, man, a serial killer that killed a bunch of young women said he realizes the moment that the devil came onto his life. At the end of his life, on death row, gave his life to Jesus. And he said, I realized that moment that it happened. Man, he was a small child in the backseat of his car in the 60s, driving through Oregon with his parents and saw a billboard, a Coppertone suntan oil billboard. And there was a puppy that was pulling a bathing suit down just a little bit on a little girl, a toddler, and it showed her tan line. And it was an innocent little ad. But you know what? He was looking on that, and something came onto his life that affected him. And you're thinking, you know what I want to think? Oh, it's not that big a deal. Man, you look at the images that young people see now. It's horrific compared to that. And that one instant. But I'll tell you this, where sin abounds, grace so much more abounds. But I will tell you this too, drastic times require drastic measures. We've got to get people to God's courts. For one day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. A doorkeeper, an usher, a greeter, serving in the parking lot. See, we look at that as entry-level positions. And here, let me just tell you, the revelation, even in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, the revelation that David had, oh my gosh, was just huge. But you know what? David's life was like this. You know why? There was no Holy Spirit in his heart. You know why? There was no church for him. See, he referred to God's house and his tabernacle, what we refer to as the church. See, that's why the local church is so pivotal. That's why what we do is so pivotal. Because we get people to God's courts, where lives are changed, where moments happen. You guys ready to take the field for the second half? God bless you. Thank you for watching this today. Give these guys a hand as they go, will you?